rickety. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your way. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, good evening, folks. And welcome to the Maine Outdoors Show. And this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. In the absence of V. Paul Reynolds, V. Paul is having a surprise birthday party. So this is when the minions take over the show, like Norm and me, for instance. And how are you doing tonight, Norman?
Doing pretty good. Yourself, Bob?
We had a great breakfast this morning, didn't we?
Really good. Tasty.
Well, we took the girls to breakfast, and we had a massive breakfast down in Hamden, and it was great. I haven't eaten anything all day since I ate that. You realize that, of course?
You're better than me. I had supper.
Okay. No, actually, I cheated. I did have a couple of ears of corn and a salad.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're coming to you tonight from the Blueberry Broadcasting Network of Stations. 103.9 FM in Bangor, 101.3 FM in Augusta, and 95.1 FM in Rockland, Maine. We have a big show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about fishing. As the fella says, what else is they? And two, I want to finish up the Maine Legends topic, which I left off a few weeks ago. Later on, if enough time left, we're going to squeeze in some home gardening tips from our expert in the control room, Norman Floyd. And right, Norman?
You give me more credit than I deserve.
Oh no, he's a great guy, and he's got a big greenhouse now and everything. So he's really got a fantastic garden going. He's talking about selling gardens. It's grants.
Produce. It'll be interesting because not something that I've ever really gave it serious thought. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times I just don't give it away.
Yeah, I know it.
But my son's not going to allow that to happen this year. He wants to do the farmer's market.
Wants to get in and make a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Well, why not? You don't ought to, really.
Yeah. If it motivates him to do it, then why not?
I don't know. It's probably my last garden, and thank you very much for tilling it up for me. But I put in like 24 or 5 tomato plants and about 15 or 20 cucumber plants, and as you say, and as absolutely correct, we give half of it off, two-thirds of it away.
That's part of the enjoyment.
Good people and the neighbors. But it's awful nice to go out and pick something and bring it right in and make a nice salad.
It sure is.
You just can't take the place of it, that's all. Well, so back to the shoe. I'm going to talk a little bit about Maine legends, and I'll be talking about this week, a so-called mountain men like Rube Dexter that we talked about before, Walter Arnold and Al Martin of Amherst and others who have gained fame for their accomplishments in the Pine Tree State. I would like to mention a couple longtime friends and fishing pals for years, namely Bill Bowden and Roger Wakefield and Bob Cust and Larry Lagi, and all these individuals have a number of chapters or two in my book, Salesman Angler, as well as a lot of the folks I'll be talking about tonight. And we'll be, you might say, disregarding our Outdoor Digest segment in the interest of time. We do have, however, two trivia questions. And when you answer correctly on one of those, you get one of my hand-tied fishing flies. The number to call, of course, is 1-800-966-1039. And I think we'll have the number one question right now. Why don't we do that, Norman? We can do that?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, the number one question tonight, in fly tying terms, what tool is used for finishing an imitation fishing fly? And that's the question. What tool is used for finishing an imitation fishing fly? You know the answer, don't you, Norman?
I do.
Okay, well, that's it, and we'll be back with it.
No, actually, it's a little early for the news.
Well, we'll throw that out there and let them go ahead and call in then, okay?
Sure, maybe when we do the second question, we can take a break.
Oh, we could do that. Boy, this is a toughie.
Okay, but let's just do the first one for now.
Yeah.
And then somewhere is a ground quarter after. So
that's a good idea. That's the way I got it down on my memo here.
And I got a caller coming in.
Okay. Caller, you there? Caller?
No, actually not yet, but you can fill in the blank. I'll get the caller.
Okay. Okay. Well, we got a caller coming in on the first question. The first question is, and it'll get you one of my hand-tied fishing flies if you can come up with the answer to this question. In fly tying terms, which tool, and it is a tool, is used for finishing an imitation fishing fly? And that's the question. And Norman has somebody on the line, I think. He does, and are you there, caller?
Well, I sure am.
Yes, and your name, please, where are you calling from?
This is Sneaker.
And you're calling from where?
Norway.
Okay.
Hasn't changed location yet.
No. Okay, do you have an answer to the question?
Would that be the whip finisher?
Whip finisher. What do you think, Norman?
He's right on target.
He is. He's right on target. You win. And if you'll give Norman your address, we'll be sure and send one of my hand-tied fishing flies right out to you. How's that?
That'll be good.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. What have you been up to? Have you been fishing?
No, my wife and I were both sick last winter, and I didn't get going on my flies actually until April.
Yeah.
So I am sitting here finishing up orders.
No kidding.
That I should have delivered last March and April and May.
Holy mackerel, you're really behind things, aren't you? This must
be. Sure am.
Is this fern?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was you, fern.
And I still got two orders to go. I'm finishing up one now, and I got two other orders to go, and then I'll be clear. I don't know if I'll get my boat in the water because they keep reordering.
Oh, that's great! That's wonderful.
I mean, it's crazy. Oh yeah, it is.
Well, you know these old time tires. You know, we've lost a lot of them. You know, Fern.
Yeah,
a lot of them passed on. So you know, there's
tell me about it.
Not too many left of old time tires, you might say.
Yep.
And it's a dread sometimes to have to sit down and tie two or three dozen of the same pattern, but it's a good pastime. I enjoy it.
Well, I enjoy it. It's a good thing I do.
Yeah, that's right.
So
well, that's good. Well, I hope you're feeling better, and I'll send you one of my flies. You can maybe send me, or you have before. You've sent me some. What's the name of that famous one you have?
Sneaker.
I knew it was. I wanted you to say it. The sneaker flies, but probably tie a lot of those, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
They're great flies.
But actually, the most popular fly over the years is the real dependable
Gray Ghost.
I don't use it. The Gray Ghost.
Yeah, exactly, that's right.
And I can't remember the last time I fished a Gray Ghost. I've always had better luck.
I mean, either.
On a red Gray Ghost.
Yeah, I know it. That's even better. Fella down in south of Bucksport. Came up with that at one time. Sargent, I think his name was.
Yep.
The Red Gray Ghost, if I recall. It was in my Trolling Flies book, anyway. Okay, well, nice to talk to you again, Mr. Bossy.
Now I'll have one of your flies in my pattern book.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. And be sure and give your name and your address, right?
I will do that.
Okay. We'll see you, Fern.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, goodbye. Have a nice night. Okay, now we're going to get down to the gritty things, and we're going to start talking about legends, Maine legends. And we talked about all kinds of them a couple of shows prior. And tonight we want to mention, to start off, with Wiggy Robinson. Now, man, there was a wonderful man. Everybody loved Wiggy. He did the show for 10 or 15 years with Paul, and everybody loved him. He could have, when I think of Wiggy and I talked with him many times and spent a lot of time with him. We went out to suppers sometimes when he was running the Maine dog show, and he brought that thing out of the doldrums and made a really big group out of them. And as I said, Pip, he could have been a public relations man for any company that he ever wanted to go to. He was that kind of a personality, you might say. He was quite the guy. And then I wanted to mention somebody else that probably a lot of people never heard of. And his name is Seth Hodgkins, Sedgwick, Maine. Seth Hodgkins, old Seth Hodgkins. When we were at my camp down in Branch Lake years ago, we would drive down to Sedgwick, Maine, and Seth Hodgkins, an older man as in those days, his boys used to do the lobstering, and he had a rowboat, and he'd take your otter in on shore. A lot of people may remember this. He'd be right on the shore there with his rowboat, and he'd row out to where all the lobsters are kept. First he'd ask you, do you want one claw, two claw, how many, and the weight and all that. Then he'd come back and give them to you, and he'd bring out a roll that would choke a horse, a roll of bills. He was quite the guy. I'd never forget Seth Hodgkins. I got pictures of him rowing that boat out at something else. The next guy I'd like to mention is Gene Letourneau. Gene Letourneau came from Waterville originally, and he started writing. The way he wrote was longhand, and then he would put that into a typewriter and one finger it out to the press. And when the newfangled stuff came along, he would not get into it at all. I don't want anything to do with it. He said, I don't want computers. I don't want to have it. I don't want to bother with it. I don't want to mess my mind up with it. And if they want to take my column the way it is, they'll take it or leave it. And they all took it, of course, because he was a wonderful writer. I wrote him many times about him, and I knew him quite well. I never went fishing with him, but we met in different places, and he was so certain groups we'd go to together to give little lectures and whatnot. So quite a guy, Gene Letourneau. And the next guy, or lady this time, is Cary Stevens. Now, Cary Stevens, of course, a very, very famous Mainer, invented the gray ghost, or came up with it, you might say. I don't know if it's invented, you could say that, but the gray ghost streamer fly, and it made her popular. She won a contest, came in second place for the Field and Stream magazine, I think it was. She tied this fly. She was a milliner by trade, and she tied this fly. Her husband was a guide in the Rangeley area, and they lived in a little house, which is still sitting there today. It's a museum now, right on the outlet of Richardson Lake, Lower Richardson Lake, right at the dam, and a very popular place to fish. And she tied this fly, walked out on the dam, and tossed this fly out. She wasn't really, they say, she wasn't an expert fly fisherman. But you kind of throw your fly out into a tail of stream of water there that comes out of the dam. And she flicked it out there and gave it a few pulls, I guess, and a big fish grabbed it. And that fish was well over 5 pounds, apparently. So she entered it in this contest, and she took second place. And they wrote about it, and they wrote about the fly, and of course that made her famous. The otters came in from all over the world, and from that point she became one of the most famous fly tiers in the country and beyond. And the next one we'd like to talk about is H. Wendell Falkins, who bought Cary Stevens' business and carried it on for a long while until he died. And Dick Surrette, now there's a name from the past, Dick Surrette. He was, he came up with Fly Tire Magazine in the late 1970s, and he was quite the entrepreneur, you might say. He came up with other books and magazines about flies and fly tying, and Dick Surrette, quite a guy.
Would you want to do the second question and take the news?
Let's do the second question right now and then take a break.
All righty.
And now, if you've got an answer to this question, I'm going to give you the book of your choice. And I've got three books that I've written. And we have Trolling Flies, and there's Fly Fishing Maine, and then there's the last one I did was Salesman Angler. Now, in one of those books, there's the word spring. Spring. I'll tell you which one is in it. It's in Fly Fishing Maine book. Now, if you can find spring and tell me what page it's on in the Fly Fishing Maine book, I will give you your choice of books. And that's the question. In the Fly Fishing Maine book, can you tell me on what page the word spring is on? We'll be right back, right after these messages. And we're back with more of the Maine Outdoors. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight, and we're talking about, about the Maine legends in Maine that never got recognized as some have, and others that should have been. And years ago, some of these guys were mountain men. And
hold on,
we have a question out there.
We have one brave soul who called in on that question. Here he is.
Okay, are you there, caller?
Jack.
Okay, your name is what?
Jack.
Scott?
Jack.
Zach. Oh, Zach.
Jack. J with it.
Okay, yes, Jack. Where are you calling from?
Rockwood.
Rockwood. Wow, that's fishing country. Yeah. Moosehead country there, huh? Have you got an answer to my question?
I was going to say page one.
On page one? Are you sure it's page one? That's not the one I have here.
No, I don't know. Just a shot at it.
It was a shot across the bow.
Shot across the bow. Well, it's a good guess, but you're about a number of pages off. I'm sorry. It's been nice talking. Have you been fishing lately up in Rockwood?
I wish I could. I moved up here. Now I don't fish anymore.
Oh, that's too bad. You got the Moose River right under your feet there almost.
Yeah, they did good at the mouth of the river this year.
Yeah, East Outlet, great fishing country. Yeah. Okay, Zach, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a nice night. Was he the only caller on that?
He is. That's a
tough question.
That's a challenging question because they need to have that book, A Fly Fishing Maine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that what makes it tough. That's why Google can't answer it, you see. Google can answer just about everything. So we've gone through the years asking these questions that Google can answer for them. So once in a while we come up with something she can't answer, and by golly, they got to work a little bit to find it. And so there's a lot of people. I've sold a lot of those Fly Fishing Maine books all over the state and well beyond. So somebody out there must have one.
It's probably going to take the rest of the show for them to find it.
That's right. They may not find it. But if they do, and they picked the right page. It's very small letters.
How many pages in that book, anyways?
Oh, my gosh. There must be, two, 300 anyway.
Are you serious? So they do have the rest of the show to try to find that thing.
Well, they might be familiar with it. If it says spring, it's probably on a stream, and it's probably in a map. And there's maps all through it of the different streams, like Grand Lake Stream, Sunkay Stream, Metawamkeag River, and on and on.
That's right.
So all I got to do is look at the maps, okay? That's a hint for you. And take one map at a time and see if you can find the word spring. And if you can, you tell me what page it's on, and you'll win your choice of one of my books. In the interim, as Bud Levitt used to say, we will continue with the shoe, and I'll get back to some of Maine's legends. And we just mentioned H. Wendell Falkins and Dick Surrett. Joe Sterling. You probably don't remember Joe Sterling, do you know him?
No, I don't.
He had a fly tying shop up in Danforth, Maine for a number of years. He was originally from Massachusetts, and when I traveled a lot, I used to stop in and see him. He had fly rods, old bamboo fly rods, all around the walls of his shop. They were handsome things.
Hmm.
He had quite a collection, a magnificent collection of bamboo fly rods. A nice man. He used to drive in the evening up to the Prestille Stream and fish it in the bog up there just above Mars Hill. And he used some of the famous flies that he tied. Still popular today. You couldn't name him by any chance, could you?
Is it by any chance a Joe Smelt?
Yes.
I can't believe I got that.
And the other one is... let's see. That's we looked it up here, but I know what it is here. The Chuck Caddis. Chuck Caddis is the second fly that he came up with, and that's the one he used to use up to the Prestille Stream in the evening. He said it was fantastic for trout, big trout, and he was a nice man. And I think we got somebody else on the line there, but they already got another call coming in too. The next guy I want to mention is Fran Montville of Old Town. Nice gentleman, supreme fly tyer. And he came up with a saying that lives on today, and I'll never forget it. He says, a streamer fly is a lot like a woman. It must have form, flash, and action. Right, Norman? You heard me, don't you?
Norman? I'm sorry. I was listening. I had two calls to grab. So.
Okay, we got a call there now?
We got two calls in that question for that question. I'm impressed.
Once they found the map, they found the answer, impressed. Didn't they?
Here's,
are you there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what's your name, my dear?
My name is Sandra.
Sandra, and you're calling from where?
Castine.
Castine. You must be picking us up on the Augusta station? 101.3, or are you picking us up from the Bangor one?
Yeah, I think it's 103.9.
Yep. Yeah. Coming in pretty good, are we?
Yeah.
You listen quite often?
Every Sunday.
Well, thank you, my dear. We appreciate people like you. You're so nice, so nice. And thank you so much for calling in. And do you have an answer to that question?
I think so. It's kind of hard to read, but I think it's on page 12.
Uh-huh. What page is it on?
Spring hole. 12. It says spring hole.
You're absolutely correct.
She hit a home run. I'm impressed because I really didn't expect anybody to find
too.
That.
And he had another caller on the line. Probably we ought to give him a prize too, if he wants.
Well, it's up to you. I mean,
that's all. We'll go with Sandra. Thank you so much for calling out the caller. Appreciate it. But Sandra, you found it, didn't you? When I said map, you started looking on the maps, didn't you?
Yes, that helped a lot.
Now, yes, it was kind of a hint. It's a really tough question. Do you do any fishing yourself?
I do. Yeah, I actually caught the biggest salmon I've ever caught in my life this year.
Really?
It's not that big, but it was 19 inches.
Well, that's pretty nice salmon, 19-inch salmon.
Still a nice fish.
Were you trolling, casting? Or?
Trolling.
Trolling. What lake?
Oh, I forget.
You forget. Does your husband take care, or your boyfriend or something? Or?
No, my husband and I go fishing quite often.
Oh, dude, that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah, it was on Green Lake.
Oh, Green Lake? No fooling. Yeah, there's some great salmon in Green Lake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Joe Jenkins runs the Jenkins Beach there.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a friend of mine for years and years and years, and his mother was too. She was a peach. And Phoebe, her name was. And then his father was quite a man too. And he created that beach down there years and years ago by hauling in sand. Truck after truck load of sand. For years, and look what he came up with, the one beautiful, fantastic white sand beach.
He wouldn't be able to do that today.
No, you couldn't get away with it, probably.
He'd have to cart it all back away.
So Joe runs the place down there now, and his sister lives across the street from me in Brewer, and Carol, and she was telling my wife that Joe has had a lot of trouble with his shoulder, and I think he had recently had an operation, or he's going to, I'm not sure. But he's in pain right now, quite a lot of pain. So we hope he gets well soon, and we're thinking of you, Joe, okay? And you, my darling, Sandra?
Mm-hmm.
which book would you like to have? Now, you have your choice between Fly Fishing Maine, Trolling Flies, or Salesman Angler?
Trolling Flies.
You want on Trolling Flies? Okay, that's that was one of my first books. Still selling very well today, very well. Dick Stewart and I came up with that back in 1984. Long time ago, wasn't it? And I've been reprinted almost every other year or so that we get so many calls, but we just have to get it reprinted because a lot of clubs, flying groups and fly tying groups and so forth, still send their orders in, so we keep getting it republished, you know, and... We don't make a lot of money, make a little pocket money, the fella says, but it's we're making a lot of people happy, I guess, and that's what it's all about. So you leave your address with Norman. And,
okay.
Okay, and thank you ever so much for calling in. And been nice talking to you, and say hello to your husband. And I hope uses Bob Lehman's streamer flies once in a while.
Oh, I'm sure we do, actually. We use some of the... some of we always pick up flies when we're at the
Does he tie flies? Or do you tie flies?
We took a course with Norman, but
Took a course with Norman. No kidding. Wow. Yep. You hear that, Norman?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
I know exactly who it is now.
Oh, you do know who it is now, huh?
Sure.
Okay. Norman, get you guys figured all out here. I guess you're quite the fisherman, too, and quite the fly ties, apparently. I tell you what, you want trolling flies, and I'll include a free one of my streamer flies for you.
Oh, thank you.
Signed on the back, so I hope you enjoy that along with your book, and I appreciate it so much for calling in. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, my dear.
All right.
Okay.
You have a good evening.
And thank you so much for listening to the show.
All right. No problem.
Okay. Good night. Have a nice night. And we don't need to take another break right now, do we, Norman? I told the folks about Fran Montville in Old Town. He was a great fly tie, one of a supreme fly tie. This guy was supreme. I mean, he was something else. But that saying he came up with, I don't know where he ever found it somewhere, but he used to say that all the time, you know, as a streamer fly, when you tie up a streamer fly, he has to have a lot, as a lot like a woman, it must have form, flash, and action. And that's so true, so true. And the next guy we'd like to talk about is a fellow by the name of Bill Bowden of Brewer. Now, any of these folks that I'm talking about, if you knew them personally, give us a call. It's 1-800-966-1039. If you had a chance to meet some of them and talk with them and you knew them, give us a call and tell us what you know. I met a lot of them myself. I was so fortunate to meet so many of these wonderful folks I'm talking about tonight and so many more that I haven't got time for, you know, to talk about. And being a traveling man, I was able to fish all over the state and write books about it. And Bill Bowden was a very close friend of mine. We fished together for 40 years. And it was funny how I ever met him. We were both staying in the same Oak Hotel in Presque Isle. And I would go fishing after work at 5 or 6 o'clock for the evening fishing. And I'd take my fly rod and have my carrying my boots and going up through the door. And the clerk there said, "Where are you going fishing?" And she says, "If you'd wait a few minutes, there's another guy that'd be right behind you, and he goes fishing every evening, too." By golly, it turned out to be Bill Bowden. We were introduced, so we went together that night. We went together all over Rooster County and all over eastern Maine and central Maine fishing for brook trout. He was a brook trout fiend, you might say, and a wonderful, wonderful man. One night, a little story I'll tell about Bill Bowden. We were staying in the Oak Hotel one night. And we were going to go over to Washburn and fish off the other side of the bridge. There was a high ledge that you could set on and fish off the ledge and catch brook trout. If you did that the right time of year when they were running up the river, the big trout and coming up, migrating up the river, Rustic River. there's an old gentleman over there during the afternoon that I saw over there fishing. So I went over and checked on him and they had these trout. So when I got back to my work all done, I went back. I said, "Bill, we got to go over and fish off that ledge tonight. We get some nice trout." Well, Bill says, "I can't go." He says, "I've got a Mason meeting." Mason or Shriner is one of them. He was what they call I don't know much about him myself, but he was a well-recognized 32nd degree Mason or Shriner or whatever that is. I guess it's quite an accomplishment. So every time I heard that he went into a meeting, they all stood up and cheered and clapped. So apparently that 32nd degree really meant something. But anyway, he had to go to this meeting, and so we missed out at going over to Washburn to fish off the ledge. Well, I went over, and there was nobody there, and I was fishing all alone. I put had a spinning outfit with me that night, and I put on a goldfish lure, and I started spinning it. And I was about 10 feet high from the water, and I kept catching these trout. And some of them, like, you know, pound and a half, 2 pounds, I'm not kidding, would hit that lure. And they wouldn't hit it right off. I would fish the lure out, and it'd come across the river and all the way down. And just before I'd take it out, I'd look down, and I could see a trout right behind it come right up out of the depth and grab it right there beside the ledge. And I'm throwing it way out in the river, and I probably should have been casting there up and down the ledge. But I hooked these big fish, and I couldn't lift them up, and they'd break off or pull off or something. But I was able to get I kept five or six of the really nice ones, and I had them hanging on the stubs of limbs behind me, and I said, well, I guess that's enough. But back in those days, you allowed 15, but I only kept six. And so I went back to the motel, and Bill and I were staying together in a room that night, and he hadn't come home yet. So I, in the basin, I put some water in the basin. I went down to the clerk's office, and I got some ice, filled it up with ice, and I put these beautiful trout right on top of the ice in the basin in the bathroom. And then I went to bed. And along about midnight, in comes Bill. And he went into the bathroom, and he says, holy Samarit, where did you get those? Well, of course, he woke me up, and I says, well, Jack, you had to go to your meeting. I said, I went fishing. And he says, I can't believe it. They were fantastic. Well, we got to go over there in the morning. So we did. We got up early, went over there. We never got a bite. Never got a bite. So we just happened to hit. I just happened to hit him. That's all it was to it. It was just one of those luck things. I came back to Bango with him. Went down to the Bango Daily News, and Spike Webb was the photographer down there, very popular photographer at the time. And he says, I want you to lay them out and stand behind him, and we'll take a picture of it, which I have a picture with it. It was published in the Bango Daily in those days. And I don't know how old I was. I was probably 28, 29, 30, 31, so right along in there, I guess. It had to be 60, 70 years ago. And so that's that story. And that was Bill Bowden. And, of course, we went fishing many times. And he was quite the fly fisherman, and he got me to fly fish almost all the time.
Hey, Bob.
And he was just a wonderful, wonderful man. So fortunate to meet him. And what's that you say, Norman?
We need to do a break, but before the break, I've got a caller that we need to put through.
Okay. Are you there, caller?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there? Okay. Thank you for waiting. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Randolph Lewis, Newport, Maine.
Randolph from Newport. All right. You have a question for us, Norman?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a guy called Winifred Stubbs? About 60 years ago, my dad took me to Bangor to pick up some flies that he had made up.
Yeah.
And the guy sold them all around the world. People would order them months in advance. But his name was Winifred Stubbs, and his wife was a gemologist.
You know, but that's his name sounds familiar. Sorry if you interrupt me, but Stubbs, there was a Stubbs who belonged to the Penobscot County Conservation at the time, and he worked in a W.T. Grant in the Sportsman's Department. That wouldn't be the fellow, would it?
I wouldn't know for 100% sure.
Yeah.
I do know that he ordered his material from all over the world, from ostrich feathers to you name it.
Well, of course, years ago, you could get almost anything, you know.
Well, you said around 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And what really surprised me was I told my bait and tackle store, mm-hmm. and that was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a whole bunch of streamer flies, like Mickey Finn, you know, Grey Ghost would be all these different ones.
Yeah.
Never open them out, never take them out of the bag.
No kidding.
Don't use them.
Wow.
All I've ever used was an old fella told me, he says, you use a Jensen Dodger with an 18-inch mono to a treble hook.
Oh, yeah.
Tandem. Yeah, when you're trolling it out behind, we had four rods, we couldn't even keep two in the water.
No.
and it was raining. People had gone in, they thought they were circling that boat with binoculars.
Yes, sir.
Trying to see what we were using. We were throwing them back two and a half foot.
Yes, sir. Well, pretty good. That's pretty good. Yep.
I wonder if you'd ever heard of Winifred Stubbs.
Well, as I said, I'm pretty sure there was a Stubbs that worked in the sporting goods department of W.T. Grant in downtown Bangor for a long time. Yeah, of course, they're long gone now. I think there's some kind of a sporting outfit in there now. But this was W.T. Grant. They sold clothes and, you know, like Sears or something, you know. And he had the sporting department downstairs, and he ran it. And his name was Stubbs. So I think he could have been Winifred. I don't remember. Might be the same guy, and it was about that time of year, you know, that time of his life, you know. So it's possible.
Yeah, like I said, She was a gemologist, and she had stones from all over the world. That's all she handled.
Well,
and,
probably wasn't him then.
Was,
this guy
just took orders, but
yeah,
he just took orders. That's all he ever did was just take orders months in advance, and they were always prepaid.
I should recognize that name? You know, one of the co-authors of the Trolling Flies book, but we didn't. We never heard of him. You know, well, if we had him, we'd have had him in there.
There was a lot of people in Maine. Yeah. Was associated with fishing.
Yeah.
And from the warden service, mm-hmm. straight up through. And I just had down one day to show us a breeding togue, and the breeding togue. We looked over in a small pool, about a 4-foot wide, sandy, deep stream coming up through.
Yeah.
Looked in the pool, couldn't see nothing. He said, just wait a minute. Don't cast your shadow. And all of a sudden, the logs started to move.
Yes, sir.
And they were all breeding togue, 5 to 6 foot.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I'm glad you called in. We got to roll on with the show here. We've got a lot more to do here this evening. So great for you to call. I sure appreciate that. And it's great to hear some of those old history things, you know. I wish more people would call in about their knowledge of these things, because people would like to know that.
It's the first time I turned the radio on, first time I've heard your show.
No kidding. Well, we hope you continue to listen, because we have a lot of things about some of the old-time histories of fly tying and sporting goods in Maine, and outdoors of fishing and hunting and trapping, and we go on and on.
Right.
Every Sunday night at 7 to 8 o'clock right here on WVOM FM. And you can pick up a podcast of this particular show. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can pick up a podcast of this show as soon as the station manager puts it up, that is. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 weeks getting the latest ones in there, but you can bring up WVOM FM and go to podcast, and then go to Maine Outdoors, and then bring up the shows one right after another. There's a whole list of them, and tonight's would be, I guess it's July, 9th or 10th? 10th, I think. July 10th show, and you would be on it.
You
could listen to it.
A guy you should get in touch with is Roger Eck out of Lee.
Oh.
And he has a long history. The man's in his 80s. And he was a pilot in the military.
Mm-hmm.
He lives just outdoors, fishing, hunting, and traveling like that. That's all he does.
Yes.
But he lives up to Lee. If you ever get across him, he would be somebody that would talk. He goes to all the rivers. Gave me a spinner with a picture of an Indian on it.
He
found up in one of the rivers that had really lost a lot of water. But very nice guy. More information you'd probably ever want to hear in your lifetime.
Wow. Great. Well, thank you for the information. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in.
You too.
Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right now, we got to do an ad for General Appliance and Brewer. They used to be Peckers.
Not yet. We got to do the half hour. Running late here. We got to do the half hour commercial.
Good night.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but we got to do a half hour commercial right now.
And here we go.
Okay. Okay, we're back on Maine Outdoors. It's Bob Lehman, your host tonight, and we have a caller on the line that would like to say a few words. And are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
And your name, please, where are you calling from?
Don Radley. I'm calling from my piece of heaven at Moosehead Lake in Northwest Cove.
Well, good for you, Sean. You got a question for us, or some information?
I just come up here for a few days, but I spent a lot of time at Upper Dam Pool in Moosehead Mechanic.
Oh, no kidding,
Richardson Lake and Moosehead Mechanic.
Absolutely.
I can tell you a lot about the fishing in that pool right there, and that's where Carrie Marie Stevens tied the Grey Ghost Fly originally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And her husband was a guide at the Upper Dam Hotel.
That's
and
true.
And that was the big hotel that
there
was there.
On the right side, right shore there,
Yeah, and my family was fortunate enough to get a camp right there.
Wasn't that
and
nice?
And we had a camp wow. right there, that's a second cool camp, walking down the shore of the lake. So I spent a lot of time fishing up at Dam Pool and Moose Lake Wiganic and Richardson. And she tied that fly while she was a housekeeper at the hotel.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, that's when she tied the fly.
I see.
She went down. She went down at the end of the day when she had time off.
Yeah.
Went down and casted that gray ghost fly in the upper dam pool and caught that 5-pound, 13-ounce bush trout.
That's right. Exactly. So, isn't that wonderful? Huh? Well, that's there's a man that knows what's going on here in the world.
Yeah, I'm a master main guide, and I guide the moose on every year.
You ever catch any big trout there yourself?
What's that?
Have you ever catch any big trout there at that spot?
I've caught a couple of 5-pounders right in front of my camp. Yep.
No kidding. Holy Samaritan. What a spot, huh?
Yeah.
That's Rapid River, isn't it?
No, I'm right on Northwest Cove on near Sabuma Campground.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the opposite shore. There's like four camps, and there'll never be another camp built. We're on the state land.
So oh, well. Okay, then.
All state property around us is a great spot.
Wow.
I've had my camp up here since 1985, so I've been coming up here a long time.
Well, you are a very fortunate gentleman. Very fortunate.
I sure am. I just wanted to call and fill you in a little bit more details about
Isn't that nice? That's very thoughtful of you, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there.
There sure is. And I was going to guess 14, and that would have been a guess on the spring.
Yeah, is that so? Yeah. If I remember right, that's a museum now, her house.
Yes, it is.
And there's a plaque out front. I've seen that. I've read it before. I think that Eldridge Brothers down by York Beach there has purchased that and left it a museum, as I recall.
Yeah, there's one in Aquasic, too, and I'm not sure if... Up at Dam Pool's changed a lot from the days. They took the dam out and put a new dam in, and it's not like it used to be.
Well, it is. That's quite a difference right there. I didn't know that.
I left up there because it was getting too crowded. So I found my piece of heaven up here in Moosehead Lake.
There you go. Good enough. Good enough. Well, you're a lucky man. You retired?
I sure am.
Good for you.
I'm up in your age.
Really. No, you'll never be old.
I'm 80. I'm 80 now.
Yeah, you're just a young fella.
You've got to be close to 90, aren't you?
I am, yes. I am over 90. Still going. Eat my spinach every day. Eat my greens. A lot of spinach.
Yep. I drink a Corona beer every day. Keeps you from getting COVID.
Oh, really? That reminds me of a cigar. There used to be a cigar by Corona. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Well, every time I'm up here at Moose, my camp, and I listen to the show, I like the show.
Well, thank you very much. You're a good listener. We appreciate you calling in. And you can get a podcast of this show and listen to yourself if you want. You know how to do it, don't you?
My wife might not want to listen to me. She listens to me too often.
Well, you're not alone. I tell you, I've got to get an ad in here right now. I've gone way over. So thank you ever so much for calling in.
Bob.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Have a nice night. Okay, now we'll try again to get the ad in for General Appliance and Brewer. It used to be Perkins Appliance in those older days. But right now, Al Elkin has bought the company. And he's been running it now for a number of years, General Appliance in Brewer. And they are located at, 891 Center Street, right there. And it's easy to get to. You come across the old Bangor Bridge, take a right and a left, and you're right on. They got Center Street, and they got practically the whole block there. And they have year-round appliance dealer, and they offer servicing, too. And they have a lineup of both gas and electric appliances of all kinds. Refrigerators, stoves, you name it, they've got it. And they also have compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman. And that is the wave of today, you might say, the compost toilets. And you can stop in for a look-see on them. They have some right on the floor there, and I'd be glad to tell you how they work. Put a little shovel full of compost in there every 2 or 3 weeks, and that's all you ever have to do. then it's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. No plug-ins, no nothing. Just put a shovel full or two of compost in there, and you don't have to worry about a thing. There's no odor, no nothing. Fantastic. I used one once up in some camp I was at, and they had it right in the closet there. And you get up in the night, use it, go back to bed, and no mosquitoes. That was a big thing, really big. And they sell books over there, both Paul books and my books. And so thank you, Al Elkin, General Appliance in Brewer. We hope you patronize them. Thank you. And we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to run through some of these legends real quick. Forrest Hart. Forrest Hart was a piece of a taxidermist, and he turned into a sculpture. I haven't seen Forrest in years. Used to be an old friend. Bob Cuss, close friend. We fished together for many years. Larry Largy, artist. Used to bring art into my father's drugstore on State Street in Bruin. We'd put it behind the soda fountain on the wall next to the Hood ice cream displays. And he went on to be a great artist. He illustrated my first book, Trolling Flies, and you'll see some fantastic his paintings in Trolling Flies' book. Greg Burr and Ron Brokaw, Maine fishery biologists, great pals, good men. V. Paul, Scotty Reynolds, so forth, wonderful people. And there's so many other people. By golly, Guy Carroll, but Branch Lake. He was a fisherman's fisherman, and you can read about him in my Salesman Angler book. And Woody Woodman, great former band leader and vocalist for many years, and he's a fantastic fly tyer, unbelievable. Lee and Joan Wolf, wonderful people. Met him, had him down to Fisher Place, and had breakfast with him one time. And he went down and one time down to Grand Lake Stream, jumped off the bridge in his chest waders, floated all the way down to the hatchery pool, and stepped out. And he says, "If you put a belt on, you can float. Don't get nervous. Just float along." And that's what he did, right down through the rips, floated right along, stepped out way down the river, no problem at all. But hip waders can be a problem. So I would prefer to have chest waders over hip waders anytime, especially in quick water. And, of course, I think that pretty much wraps up our legends. And we're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about gardening, are we, Norman?
No, we got about, at best, 45 seconds.
Well, we'll have to leave that for another show, the gardening. And you were telling me one thing real quick this morning at breakfast. We can work this in real quick. You put you can buy straw.
Mm-hmm.
And straw is better than hay.
Any day of the week.
For your garden or for growing grass.
Hay for grass, and you know, your straw definitely for your vegetables, because you want to minimize your weeding.
Yeah, and you know where to buy it.
Yes. Further north you go, the better the price, but you know, it's
And it's quite reasonable, you said.
Up north, but not around here. I mean,
yeah. You ought to buy some, bring it down here and sell it.
That'd be the way to do it. Bring a trailer up there. Bring a whole bunch back.
Okay, well, next week, I don't know who's going to be on next week. But Paul will be back. It will be Paul. He's a year older and deeper in debt like the rest of us. And he owes his soul to the company store.
Is he going to be wiser? We'll see.
Yeah. So we'll see you all next week right here on the Maine Outdoors Show.